It's Madonna's birthday, and it's also the anniversary of the day Elvis Presley died. But does their connection go deeper than that? Making the rounds again on the internet is an old archive image of a young woman bearing an uncanny resemblance to the Queen of Pop, trying to get close to Elvis, the King of Rock and Roll.
The black and white photo taken in 1970 in front of the Olympia Theater is hotly contested as to whether the young woman is or isn't Madonna. Madam X isn't speaking out about it, and perhaps she's enjoying the mystery of it all and the wild speculation that the photo might be an artifact from a parallel universe.
Today, we take a look at the mysterious photo of a young woman trying to meet Elvis. Is it an example of the Mandela effect? The phenomena where large groups of people can recall something that did not happen or remember it very differently because it came from another dimension.
Plus, Dolly Parton says Black Lives Matter, you sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
A woman named Fairy Argyle Rainbow says she's the real designer of the rainbow flag.
Soap opera hunk Wesley Uhr, best known as Will from the TV show Land of the Lost, had a love affair with actor Richard Chamberlain.
And tropical storm Fausto is fizzling out. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion, and I'm not fizzling.
And happy birthday to Lady Bunny, our favorite pig in the wig. Oh, I'm sorry.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Yeah, forgot to say that. Feast of Fun is made possible today because of fierce, fabulous people just like you. And by BetterHelp, HELP.com/fun. You know, right now, you're not going to be going to any therapist's office.
At least not face-to-face. You might as well telemental health it.
Yeah, so you can visit a mental health professional at BetterHelp, HELP.com/fun, and you can talk about all the issues that are on your mind. And, you know, right now, you're going through a lot of stuff. And don't bottle up inside. Talk about it. Share your feelings. Grow as a person with a licensed mental health professional.
Visit BetterHelp.com/fun.
Ooh, one of my favorite topics to bring up on Feast of Fun, Madonna and the occult.
What are you looking at?
You know, because Madonna, everybody believes that celebrities didn't get there through their own devices, that they're part of some kind of cosmic, metaphysical, magical system.
Now the thing is that it's like Hollywood is filled with satanic blood drinking. They drink the blood of children to get where they are and to stay in power.
And that was the plot of American Horror Story, Apocalypto. You know, where when at the very end of the series, spoiler alert, we reveal that every rich person, every single successful celebrity in the world is a Satanist. And in this case, it's an interesting thing where people are very obsessed with musicians. Mm-hmm. And in Madonna's early career, you know, people just thought she was the Antichrist because she danced almost naked in front of a burning cross, making sweet love to a black saint.
She had nude photos came out. She was sexually provocative. It shocked a lot of people. It really did.
What did your mom's friend say about, it was just such a great story.
Well, she was just like, somebody brought up Madonna and she was just so, now this is a woman who was like well into her 60s, probably 70 years old. And she was just so shocked and revolted by Madonna. She said to us, Madonna would do anything to make money. She would actually stick money up her own twat and set it on fire if she thought she could make more money. And I thought to myself, damn, if I could just stick some money up my ass, set it on fire to make more money, who wouldn't do it?
And, you know, young Madonna, when she made her way from Detroit, Michigan, from the Brewster Projects, from Bay City, Michigan, all the way up to New York City, mm-hmm. every person who met the young Madonna mm-hmm. when she first tried to break mm-hmm. it into show business in Big Apple says that she was somebody who was very obsessed with fame. And she would, like young RuPaul, would go around saying, I'm going to be a big star someday. Would you like to do my makeup for me? You think you can do my nails for me, sugar?
Well, wouldn't. Elvis died, her brother said to Madonna.
No, her brother-in-law.
Her brother-in-law said to her, like, Elvis has passed into your body.
Yeah, that's Joe Henry, who's married to her sister, Melanie. Because just like in your family, a lot of people have the letter M. And in fact, your name almost was.
I was going to be Madonna. If I was a girl, I was going to be Madonna. Now, everybody in my family, all eight of us, our names are all starts with the letter M.
So interestingly enough, Madonna's birthday is the day Elvis Presley died. August 16, 1977.
Now, these are, as far as we know, facts.
A fact.
Well, you know, Death Becomes Her makes it seem like Elvis is still alive, and there's been Elvis spotting. So
we're not talking about, this is cold, hard, undisputed facts. Madonna's birthday, August 16th, and everybody's celebrating it. We're going to get to the Mandela effect soon, folks. And Elvis died August 16th. 1977.
On the toilet.
Not the same. Madonna wasn't born that year, so let me clarify that.
She was 16 when he died.
And there's this photo that popped up on the internet about 4 years ago about a young woman who bears an uncanny resemblance to Madonna. Before we get into that, though, let me read to you Joe Henry, Madonna's brother-in-law, talking about Madonna in context of Elvis, which to what we know is the only time Madonna's ever talked about Elvis publicly. He said, I've told this tale before, but it bears repeating. When Elvis Presley died on Madonna's birthday in 1977, this upstart professed in real time that she felt his spirit had passed out of his body and into her own. I laughed at her for such an outrageous proclamation, at the arrogance I assumed must allow her to declare such things publicly. She was whip smart and short on patience, and to tell you the truth, young Madonna scared me a lot. But along with her sister Paula, her presence upon my life nudged open a door which I could pass and find my own love and forever change throughout my life. That unusual and sparkling family has become my own. After knowing Madonna for 40 years, Madonna is just like anyone's. I can sometimes forget to see the flesh and blood of the person, of the mind behind the parade float that is her public persona. But then I'll find myself at times sitting across her in the kitchen table, sharing a martini, because, you know, in the Ciccone household, martinis are for breakfast. I'll be shocked to recognize the new yet compassionate human at the switches.
Aww.
Now, this photo that's being shared around was found in just like this archive. And somebody said, oh my God, that looks exactly like Madonna. And regardless of whether you think this is Madonna or not, it is an interesting photo because it's all these pushy, strong men trying to get close to what's undoubtedly Elvis Presley before he did his performance at the Olympia Theater in Detroit, Michigan.
Now, he's signing autographs, right?
Yeah.
And so she's kind of like these people have their arms out and she's just like up and like it's like this head popping up over this arm and just kind of like
this little head. Yeah.
This is my moment.
This is a young person. This is a young teenage person. Mm-hmm.
Madonna would have been 12 at this time.
And that is very possible that could be Madonna. However, you don't think it is.
I don't believe it is Madonna because some people have shown like other photos like this is what Madonna looked like at this age. And she doesn't look like the Madonna of that age.
But did Madonna like to cut her hair and change her look year after year after
year? Was she reinventing herself at the age of 12? Probably.
Yes. If you look at all the documented photos of Madonna throughout her teenage years and childhood, you can tell that she, one year she had short hair, other years she had long hair. Like she was always cutting and doing things with her hair, you know, but not dyeing it blonde at that time. And, you know, what's interesting about this photo is that I guess RuPaul and the production staff at World of Wonder got a wind of it and started blogging about it and started pushing this idea or this thread that Madonna, it is Madonna for sure because of her hair and her unique teeth and because of her eyebrows. And definitely if you zoom in on the photo, it is clearly Madonna, like at least, you know, in terms of very unusual characteristics for a young girl at the age of 12. However, Madonna is also very, you know, she comes from Detroit, Michigan.
Just so we're clear, she's not from Detroit, right?
But she's in Michigan, but
that area, yes.
That area,
I believe it's Bay City.
Yeah, okay. Bay City, correct, I'm sorry. But, you know, we know a lot of people from that area, and you know what young people are like in that parts of Detroit.
And what are they like?
They're very comfortable in doing things on their own. They're very bodacious. They're willing to do things that are outrageous and
we
a
know
little
a lot
bit
of
unstable and very outrageous, right? Mm-hmm. And that certainly describes Madonna. We think of Madonna as this like once in a lifetime unique kind of, you know, gift from the heavens, but you know, she really is a product of her times and a woman from that community in you know, outside of Bay City in mm-hmm. Detroit. Right. So, you know, here in terms of this photo, Elvis had arrived the day before his show at the Olympia Theater to pay a visit to the theater and to do like a sound check. And as soon as he got there, there was like all this paparazzi and all these people, you know, trying to get an autograph. And the only woman who got through to it was this young woman who looks exactly like Madonna.
Well, does Madonna have the autograph from Elvis? Did she keep it?
Well, it's interesting. It's like Madonna doesn't talk about it, you know, and no one's really brought it up. And even like, you know, someone like Andy Cohen or when she was when she did that quote where she wanted to be like Jesus or Buddha, but stay alive.
Yeah.
And that part of it is like, I feel like sometimes people who interview these big stars don't have a lot of time or mm-hmm. curiosity about digging in deeper, you know. If we were to interview Madonna, that would be one of the first things I would ask her.
Well, right? she's in Jamaica right now with a big old spliff and her boyfriend in a party Shit. Bus. Maybe we can go find her in Jamaica. Hello,
vivacious.
Do you have any friends in Jamaica who
she's
can help
like,
us out?
Madonna answers the phone. She's like, I don't even just meet him. I am Elvis.
He passed through me, and now it's
now
me.
It's me. I am Elvis.
Well, it's amazing how you know how these women entertainers are like Elvis inspired them. You know, the Madonna was inspired by Elvis, and certainly Cher. And when you watch Cher perform, so much of her singing and her movements and the things she does is Elvis. I guess her mother took her to see Elvis at a very young age, and she was just blown away. And she adopted so much of his mannerisms and performance styles.
And two famous women we know. Cher was supposed to go on a date with Elvis, but never did.
Oh.
And Cassandra Peterson. And Elvira actually did go on a date with Elvis. You can listen to that in our archives at feastoffun.com/plus.
Mm-hmm.
Search for our interviews with Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you can hear her talking about her date with Elvis mm-hmm. Presley, where it got a little too hot under the collar.
I believe she was pretty young back
yes.
then. She was pretty young. Elvis liked them young, as you know.
Yeah.
His wife was 14 when they got married. You know, it's Tennessee.
So the thing about like this image, which is popping up around the internet, is people are claiming that the reason that we haven't talked about it until now is because it is what's called a mass delusion, the Mandela effect. The Mandela effect. Where people all share the same false memory.
Because now named after Nelson Mandela, right?
Well, at the time, like, and part of it is like, you know, Sigmund Freud actually studied how traumatic events or even the way like questions are asked influence the way people think about events mm-hmm. or memories. There was one study that he did where they showed cars crashing with the miles per hour in the caption. And when the person was asked, how fast were the two cars when they bumped into each other, as opposed to how fast were the two cars going when they crashed into each other, people would remember the speed as going faster when they used the word crashed as opposed to bumped.
Oh.
So in litigation and lawsuits and stuff like that, it's very important to weigh those things because eyewitness testimony can sometimes be very unreliable.
It's mostly unreliable yeah. is what they're finding. Like people believe what they want to believe. They remember things how they want to believe them. So like if you show them a picture of a suspect in your mind, that suspect is the person that did it. And that person may have been a million miles away from the crime scene.
So, you know, trauma influences people's memories and like even people have very conflicting recollections of the events of September 11th. You know, Republicans certainly have a different recollection of Trump being his election day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Trump himself says that there were more people than there were in those photos of mm-hmm. him. you know? And part of it is like...
Well, he knows that he's lying.
But his audience isn't, you know? And the audience is firmly believing that they have a different truth on what is factually wrong.
Well, when you're dealing with politics on the spectrum that Trump is in, it's, the idea is just to lie and to continue to lie because... people will accept those lies, and they will accept those lies as truth eventually if you repeat them enough, or even sometimes just the first time because they want to believe them. And sometimes people will say, you know, they're happy to repeat the lie knowing it's a lie just because they're, you know, it's part of the whole team mentality, right?
And so when Nelson Mandela was released as a political prisoner, it was a huge news event. And the world had never hadn't seen Nelson Mandela in decades.
Right.
Yeah. So he went to prison as a young man and came out as an old man.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of seeking vengeance, he, you know, brought down apartheid in South Africa and became this amazing leader. And at the time, people were like swearing to God that Nelson Mandela had died in prison.
Mm.
And that's where this idea of this parallel universe leaking into our own. With traumatic events or traumatic circumstances, like a terrorist bombing in the city of Bologna, Italy, people swearing to God that this clock in the train station was at a certain time, and there's photographs of it, and they're like, it was stuck on the time of the bombing, and people are like, no, it's not.
It was already stuck?
The whole thing got blown up, you know? Like, but people swore that the clock was still there after the bombing, and that it's got stuck, eerily stuck at the time, and they had seen photographs, and they had actually visually seen that clock.
Would you say something like Sears Tower or the Willis Tower is part of that Mandela effect? There's people that will just never recognize the Willis Tower as the Sears Tower.
Well, I think the Mandela effect is someone swearing to God. Like, here, let's do the Mandela effect ourselves. Here's a little test. There was a cartoon based on the Honeymooners.
The Flintstones.
Yes. And how do you spell the first?
Flint, as in the rock, F-L-I-N-T.
There's a lot of people who swear to God that it's Flintstones.
Those people don't know how to spell.
What is...
Yabba Dabba Doo.
Choosy moms choose what kind of peanut butter?
Jif.
So a lot of people believe that peanut butter's brand name is Jiffy.
Jiffy Lube.
Because they mentally combined the competitor Skippy name with Jif.
Yeah, with Annette Funicello. She was into Skippy peanut butter.
The cartoon
I think Lady Bunny prefers Jif on her butt crack when she has dogs lick it. Yeah, yeah. Jif.
The Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig are part of a cartoon system, you know, like a brand.
Yeah, yeah.
What's called?
Looney Tunes.
And how do you spell tunes?
T-U-N-E-S.
And why not T-O-O-N-S? It's a cartoon,
Toontown.
Right?
Toontown.
The reason it's a musical reference and not a cartoon reference is because it was a knockoff of Disney's Silly Symphonies.
Oh, so it's musical.
Yes. What happened is that Warner Brothers had a catalog of music, and with Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies, they would turn these cartoons into money, basically, that they could show in movie theaters.
So I can understand why people get confused out of that, because it's what we call in English a homophone, right? A homophone.
Sure.
So it's two words that sound like but are spelled differently. But because this is cartoon, you're going to think it's a tune, right? And not T-U-N-E-S.
The TV show that Sarah Jessica Parker starred in.
Sex in the City.
We know people who called it Sex in the City. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people used to, and then the guy on the TV show, that people called him Mr. Big, right?
Yeah.
But on the TV show, I think that they only called him Big.
Yes.
You know, but everybody always wanted to remember his name as Mr. Big.
Yes.
Maybe they called him Mr. Big at one point in time on the show. I don't know. But it was always just Big.
Whitney Houston, in that famous interview with Diane Sawyer.
Show me the receipts.
She never says that.
What?
I wish whoever's making that money off of me could share it with me. No way. I want to see the receipts.
Where are the receipts? Show me the receipts. Give me the receipts.
She never says, show me the receipts. Show me the receipts. She never says that.
Is it just you that says, show me the receipts? Or
no,
other
the other people on the internet. In fact, the video on the internet, if you go on YouTube and just search Whitney Houston, Show Me the Receipts, you'll see lots of videos with that as the title. But if you actually watch it, she's never says.
Did they do it on Saturday Night Live or something like that? Or,
I don't know.
You know, maybe it got like into the zeitgeist some other way.
The Family of Bears that was under the same Dr. Seuss books.
The Berenstain Bears.
What is Berenstain Bears? It's wrong.
Berenstain Bears.
Neither is that.
What is it?
Berenstain, like a paint stain.
I think that's just a mispronunciation because it's a little. They spelled it differently, right?
So, according to Michael Berenstain, the son of the late authors Jan and Stan Berenstain, said in an interview that his great grandparents were Ukrainian Jews who emigrated to the United States in the late 19th century, fleeing prosecution of Jews at the time. Their name was pronounced with a Slavic colored pronunciation. They pronounced it
Berenstain.
The family tradition was simply that Berenstain was an attempt to phonetically spell that particular pronunciation of the name.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, the person that wrote those books was a cousin of my mother's friend.
Yeah, Jan and Stan Berenstain were the couple, and they did that book. Yeah. And so initially, the book was just called The Big Honey Hunt. And then when they put out a second book, Dr. Seuss, who was running the publishing for it, called it...
The Dr. Seuss?
The Dr. Seuss, yes. He said, you know what? These are called the Berenstain Bears.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Well, it's great because, you have bear in there, right?
Mm-hmm. It's, alliteration. Mm. But a lot of people have actually, there's another one with Star Wars. What color is C-3PO?
C-3PO is...
Yeah, in the first movie.
Gold.
So he's gold, but his one of his legs is silver.
Really?
And it's just maybe it's the reflection of the sand in the desert that we don't notice. Our brain erases that silver leg.
Because he was put together by different pieces?
Yes,
is that what it is?
It was meant to suggest that he was, put together by different pieces.
He's a hodgepodge of different little faggy robots.
In the first movie, in the first movie, who says... May the force be with you. You'd be blown away by this.
Who's the person that says it? May the force be with you?
Yes.
Well, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nope.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
Is that the first time it's ever uttered?
Yeah, it's Han Solo who says it first.
Was that up for debate or was that something?
So a lot of people say, Yoda in other movies, it says, may the force be with you, young Skywalker. But in the original Star Wars movie, Obi-Wan says the force will be with you always. He never says, may the force be with you.
Oh, so Han says it.
Yeah.
I guess Han was into the force, huh?
And there's a couple more here that I pulled up. Also, Raggedy Ann, the doll.
I had a Raggedy Andy and my sister had a Raggedy Ann.
What did her cheeks look like? This is a really good one because I'm like, did she have blush?
They were like little stars or something. Kind
of,
right?
You think so. You would think so.
No?
No freckles on those cheeks. It's blush.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were just like a little rouge on it. Yeah.
I thought they had little starbursts or something, kind of like something.
And there's a bunch of other stuff about it. I think it's really fascinating. And part of it is just, it speaks to the fact that we really, really love Madonna. We really love Elvis. And part of it is like our minds are wanting to tie these things together. I think Madonna may one day answer that question if somebody brings it up. But right now, it's a wonderful mystery.
And right now, she's too high in Jamaica to care.
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
She's like, she's like spreading COVID. They're going to name a COVID strain after her.
COVID Madonna, Madame X COVID branded thing. I hope that she's taking precautions. She probably flew on a private jet with her entourage, her family.
Probably, yeah.
I would imagine they probably have had tests. And COVID tests and temperature taken. But
I heard that the infection rate went up last week. I don't know. So Dolly Parton is in the news and she was interviewed commenting about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the clip here. I want to play it for you guys. Here, this is Madonna. I'm sorry. This is Dolly Parton.
Foster, do you have a little soundboard going on there?
I do here. Yeah. So you could be like, girl. You throw some shade, but so this is Dolly Parton's full quote.
I think that everybody needs to express themselves however they feel they have to. I'm not out, you know, I'm not out here to tell you what to do. I don't want you to tell me what to do. But I just do what my heart tells me to do. I ask God to direct me and lead me. And if I've got His direction, I don't have to worry too much about anything else. But I do understand people having to make themselves known and felt and seen. And of course, Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No. Everybody matters.
All lives matter.
Dolly is the person that can say all lives matter and get away with it.
Yeah, while saying supporting Black Lives Matter. So she's a brilliant politician.
That of course is the idea is like, yes, every life does matter, but we're talking about Black lives because of the police violence.
Saying save the whales does not mean pollute the sea and screw the rest of the ocean.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, she had a thing down in her Dollywood. It was called the Dixie Stampede.
Yeah,
and people said to her, she's just like, listen, a lot of people are offended by the term Dixie. And she just said, you know what? I've been ignorant that people don't like that word. I don't want to offend anybody. Let's just change it to the stampede.
Of course, Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the cakes out
so
here.
She was well ahead of like the Dixie Chicks, who just changed their name this year to the Chicks. And of course, we had a local drag queen who was named Dixie. I told her years ago about the same time
that name.
And she recently changed it as well.
I'm glad to see that people are at least on a superficial level, because it's the name.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the name actually...
It's about inclusion, right?
It's about inviting people.
You don't want to be like hosting somebody and like, come to Dixieland, and you're just like, all the Black people are like, why am I sure I want to go to Dixieland?
I'm more interested in, the Dolly Parton that does a movie with Queen Latifah.
what was that movie?
It was like they're both like
choirs, right?
Choir church ladies, and they're having a rivalry.
No, I don't know if I need to see that. Did I see that movie? I think I may have seen part of it.
Of course, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, that's cute having thing on your phone.
It's cute.
Your phone seems very pointed right now.
Do you remember when Howard Stern, Dolly Parton did an audiobook, and Howard Stern took bits and pieces of it and made her say terribly racist things about having sex with Black men.
Yes.
And a bunch of stuff about Kenny Rogers and how Kenny Rogers' beard smells like boy cum. And she was not happy, right? Didn't she?
Oh, she was furious and threatened to sue about it, but I don't think it. I don't think it went anywhere.
It's one of those things, we talk about the Mandela effect. Well, let's talk about the Streisand effect for a moment, where, in that same kind of thing. Sometimes the Streisand effect is when you make a big deal out of something that nobody's really paying attention to, because it's you feel as though it's affecting you somehow. By you talking about it or blowing it up just makes it even a bigger thing, and otherwise people would have just forgotten it. And it's named after Barbara Streisand because one of the mapping organizations was mapping like the coastline of Malibu or wherever she has her home, and she was just like, no, please don't do this. And so because of that, people were like, where does she live? Let me look at it. So it became more well known.
And so anytime that you try to tell people on the internet they can't see something, they can't look at something, that's when they're like, I must see it.
I have to.
Yeah. So, I'm glad to see that Dolly Parton is striking that balance, because some of her fans, she's definitely the queen of country music at this point. And, country music kind of was created as a racist, way to exclude Black people from Southern music. And so, I'm glad that at least she's making a statement and hopefully getting people to reconsider things, because sometimes she really tries to be a little too politically neutral. And she's like, honey, there'd be two boobs in the White House, about her tits.
Yeah. It's hard when your audience is a Southern audience. There's a lot of people that are, truly racist. It's part of the culture that's been down there for a very long time, and hopefully it will change over time. And she's just trying to, get their money, get their fandom, and not offend them, but still be able to sleep at night, really.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, there's a tropical storm named Fausto on the loose.
Oh.
T.S. Fausto.
How powerful is it?
Honey, it's called T.S. because it's a tropical storm. If you don't get my time, you're going to be a reckoning. Mm. T.S. Madison.
It fizzled
says.
Out, though, didn't it already?
Yeah.
It's not going to be a full hurricane or
But everybody,
anything.
Everybody was like, today was messaging me like, oh my God, your name's real. Because I have a weird name. And so yeah. people are always like, is that a name you just made up? And I'm like, right. no, it really does exist.
It's a real name. Yeah. Is this isn't the first hurricane or tropical storm?
No, there've been, you know, throughout my life, whenever they like to use Fausto for hurricanes.
Yeah.
Don't well, know
better
why.
Than like Francis, right?
They've done Hurricane Francis too.
Oh, yeah, they have.
But like, you never hear Mark as a hurricane.
You don't know? Really.
No, it's
they want
weird,
something, you know, because it's tropical, so they want some Latin flavor to it. Maybe a Hurricane Marcos. But also, too, like do it alphabetically too, right? So it doesn't often get up to the M's, does it?
I think they're doing it by the time of the year when it comes out. I don't, you know, just for
so
fun.
So they start with the A's and then the B's and then the C. Like, it goes by alphabet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because right. I remember.
I guess it got to Maria, right? Hurricane Maria was devastating.
It just depends on how many hurricanes and storms there are that year. So does there's ever, a lot. Yeah. They'll get to Zeke.
Zoe.
Xavier. Xavier with an X or something. Let's talk about the Rainbow. Fairy Argyle Rainbow.
So I came across this video somebody shared. Fairy Argyle Rainbow is an artist who was living in San Francisco at the time of and helped create the first rainbow flags. There's no doubt that she was helped create it. Some people say that she just all she did was dye the fabric. But she said that she had been making flags for a long time. She had made rainbow flags, and that Gilbert Baker, Harvey Milk said to Gilbert Baker, like, we need a flag, we need a symbol. And he goes, I've got just the thing. We'll do the rainbow flag, right? And so they formed a committee. A bunch of people got together. She was super instrumental in creating it. And she says that, like, I'm, you know, Gilbert's taking all the credit, but like, I was basically the designer. At the time, they had made a bunch of rainbow flags. One of them just had the stripes, you know, including the famous pink stripe. But hers, the one that she had made, it also had the stars and stripes, or also had stars on it from the American
indigo
flag.
An indigo panel with white stars in a kind of a tie-dye pattern.
So to be reminiscent of the American flag,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they hung those up, and I guess the flags eventually they got stolen or something like that. And then the next year, Gilbert just kind of like did nylon ones because they were much cheaper to produce. And so she feels like maybe her part in history was rather forgotten, or Gilbert took the credit for it. But then people from the Gilbert Baker Foundation, his family members, and she's like, you know, she dyed the fabric and stuff like that, but he's the guy who came up with the concept for it to be like the flag for LGBT liberation. The gay pride flag was called back then, right? So you can watch the video. I posted it in the community forums on Facebook at facebook.com/group/feastoffun and watch the video and, you know, decide for yourself. Personally, I think that, you know, obviously she did have a great hand in creating it. But, you know, when Harvey Milk turned to him and said, we need a flag, he was just like, I've got the flag for you.
Yeah, you know, and part of it is like, it is an interesting thing as a person myself who's designed the lipstick lesbian or the lesbian pride flag, because I don't get credit for that. And it's very well documented that I'm the person who made it, and the person who claims to have made it just stole the design.
And changed it a little bit, right?
She modified it by moving the white stripe down you know, inverting the white stripe in the position that it was, but pixel for pixel, she didn't even bother moving the position of the lips.
Mm.
And my flag was a modification or a commentary on Craig Burns's Bear Pride flag and Tony DeBlas's Leather Pride flag, you know, which were basically like symbolizing a subset of LGBT people, LGBTQ plus people. So the leather flag was a series of blue and black stripes with a white stripe in the middle and a heart to the left, and very sort of much very focused on sadomasochism and the heart. And then, you know, the Pear Pride flag is shades of brown with a white stripe offset.
Yeah.
And that's why my version of the lesbian pride flag had the white stripe offset.
Well, it's also great, you know, for the bear flag that they have that paw print on it, because without the paw print, it would just be the scat pride.
And then there's, you know, Daniel Quasar, who helped create and worked on the opening title sequence for Cooking with Drag Queens with me. He is the designer of the Progress Pride flag.
And that flag is everywhere now.
And so it is weird that, like, Daniel and I, Craig Burns, Tony DeBlas, Monica Helms, who is a trans woman who designed the trans pride flag of series of blue and pink and white stripes. And then there's, you know, we're part of a very small group of people who've actually made flags that the world buys from shopping carts during Pride. You know, it's like, to me, it just blows my mind and makes me feel like I left my mark on this earth. And what's really fascinating is just like, you know, Philo T. Farnsworth. Do you know who that is?
From Futurama.
No.
Oh.
No one knows
who Philo... The inventor of the television.
Yes!
Yeah.
He invented a TV set. No one knows who the fuck he is.
That's why they call him Farnsworth on Futurama,
That's correct. That's correct, yeah. And part of that is like, you know, I think if you're doing the right job, people won't notice you did anything at all. And to me, I'm just like... so blessed and happy to have been able to contribute to that. And that we know somebody, a dear friend of ours who we share so much in common, Daniel Quasar. I mean, that Progress Pride flag, I think, is one of the best designs. And it really tries to tie so many complicated ideas into one cohesive visual whole. And I think it's a winner, you know. For me, like the lesbian pride flag is a bunch of shades of pink and red. And I think purple and red.
You have to do now you should change it to a progress lipstick lesbian one. So it's, you know, you have the chevron.
I got to tell you,
we've
done this podcast for 15 years and we've put out lots of t-shirt designs and lots of ideas and stuff out there. And every now and then something just captures that zeitgeist and blows up and gets a life of its own.
You have to find another subsection of the LGBT queer community to
exploit
to find a flag and design a flag for. Who do the Sploshers?
Cupcakes,
do you want fetishes?
But part of that is like it just came at the right time. It was a Time Magazine article was about women who were reclaiming their sexuality. Cougar Pride.
Yes, it was about Cougar Pride.
Also is good for lipstick lesbians.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I guess the woman who was seeking a lipstick lesbian flag found my design and you know, like most TERFs, and this woman is a bona fide TERF.
Oh, really?
Who stole the
design.
Even
more to do a progress. So you stick those pink and lavender and white in there along with the brown and black stripe.
And that person took my design and passed it off as their own. But it is documented. It is timestamped. It is on Flickr. Mm-hmm. It is not something I can change. Like,
we will see you in the court of Wikipedia.
So if anybody wants to change the Wikipedia entry to reflect facts, I think you should
call up Fairy Argyle Rainbow and be like, girl, what's up?
I always wanted to talk to Gilbert Baker. And, you know, when we were doing the podcast, I reached out to him a couple times and he was just, his health was not good. So, you know, unfortunately he passed away before we were able to talk to him. But, you know, Fairy Argyle Rainbow sounds like she's a real character.
Well, she says like they call me Rainbow and that's why I was known for making rainbow flags. So she probably, you know, as you said, designed these kinds of things. And then when the idea came up, like, what can we do? He was just like, I have the flag for you. But he was also, you know, you have to remember, maybe he wasn't as instrumental into the original design of it. But the intention was there. And he was certainly the flag bearer of it for decades, right?
And he helped to maintain, popularize it. He's certainly, you know, his fingers bled making enough rainbow flags when nobody cared, you know?
And it was interesting to hear her talk, too, because she's one of those people that, you know, came from that 60s and 70s San Francisco, which is so different from today. And she'll talk, you know, she talks about how, like, really it's just changed so much for people like her. That hippie counterculture is, you know,
It's gone.
It's gone.
And only Peaches Christ.
Only Peaches, yeah.
Even Heclina doesn't live in San Francisco anymore. Know? What a world. Wait, let me. Where's my soundboard here? Let me just. The problem is that the soundboard, it takes a little bit too long to. It is like, you know, developing a soundboard is kind of like building a musical instrument and a toy. And you gotta, just like a musical instrument, you gotta kind of learn how to play.
How does that work? Is that like a little app that you found, or what do you do?
Yeah, and you basically, part of it is like you just put together all the audio clips, which is a lot of work, time consuming. I was up till like 3 a.m. last night doing this thing, and I got really excited about it. And I was just like, wow, it's like, the, you know, like an 80s radio station. They're like, oh, behave. Luke, I am your father. You go, girl.
Now, when you were a kid, Saturday morning cartoons, did you...
Before you move on, though, I just want to say, any time that I run into a t-shirt that I designed or that you and I came up with out in public, out in the wild, like I've been at a gym and I see a Feast of Fun or Feast of Fools t-shirt, or Not Shaven Gives Me More Time for Misbehaving, available at feastoffun.com/store. And I'm just like, I get so excited. It's like running into an old friend. And so, of course, I just go up to that person. And I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much for buying that shirt. And they're just like, I got this at a yard sale, man. Back off.
I found it at the gym.
And I'm just, you know, but sometimes like I run into people, they're like, oh my God, are you Fausto? This is so great. You know? And to me, it's like running into, it's like a Charlotte's Web where the, you know, you die, but it's like your children
live on
and the ideas live on. And I just want everybody who's, you know, feeling their mortality during this pandemic, just to remember that, like, you sometimes it's easy to forget the influence that we have on people and places throughout the course of our lives, but don't mean just because you don't remember it, that it didn't happen. You know, it's not a Mandela effect. Like, you do have a presence and a positive impact in this world. And, you know, when it look for those moments where you can reconnect with your past and the people and places you've shared love with, because that is the only thing that matters in life.
That's very sweet sentiment.
I love that Okur brought.
Thank you, Karma, for buying that.
I know.
And what's wonderful about that, too, is it kind of sounds like Karma.
It does. It sounds more like Karma than it sounds like Cardi B.
For sure. It's not supposed to sound like Cardi B, is it?
No. It's off-brand. It's
Cardi
neither
B and her wet-ass pussy.
It's neither a girl from RuPaul's Drag Race or... it's neither of them, you know, so I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
So when you were a kid growing up, I assume you watched Land of the Lost, the Sid and Marty Krofft TV show.
It was
show.
One of the Sid and Marty Krofft shows that was not annoying.
Well, Marsha, Will, and Holly went on a routine expedition to the and then landed up in the Land of the Lost.
And they land in a land of claymation dinosaurs.
I guess he signed the contract to go on that show, but then like they had like production halted and stuff, and so he went on to do a soap opera.
Restless.
Yeah, but then they called him back to do this show. And meanwhile, he met Richard Chamberlain, the actor,
the legendary actor,
you know, from the Thornbirds, and I believe Dr. Kildare. And they started to have a romance, and he was 24 years old and Richard Chamberlain was 41. They lived together for about a year, but then I guess, you know, it ended after a while. Richard found somebody else, but I had such a crush on Wesley when I was a little kid. I was just like, he was always shirtless. He was nice to his little sister. He fought these sleaze stacks. I mean, I guess I had a crush on his dad too, but I get, you know, I had no idea he was gay until I was like reading something on the internet, and I was just like, oh my God.
We used to call the tweakers that hung out at circuit parties in the 90s the sleestacks. Because they kind of had that faux hawk. And they wore goggles and stuff like that that made them look like, and they kind of hunched over and walked around with their little obsession on their crystals, you know?
Yeah, and they hissed at you. Oh, they were into those crystals, weren't they?
Yeah, they have the little table with the crystals. I loved Land of the Lost, and me and my friend Miguel, we used to watch it religiously.
Did you guys play it? I bet you were that little ape boy, Chucky. What was his name?
Chaka.
Chaka, yeah, you were Chaka, weren't you?
You are mean.
Your brother, sister's faster, you be Chaka.
No, I love that. You know, I used to watch a Land of the Lost in Spanish.
En español?
Yeah, yeah, because we didn't get it in
La
English.
La Tierra.
But the thing about the Sid and Marty Krofts, all the shows had the same plot, which was a stranger in a strange land. And the mechanism that drove every episode was there was always a window of opportunity for the people that were lost, mm-hmm. whether it's Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster from the Munsters.
In Lidsville.
In the land of where everything's a hat, mm-hmm. which is the stupidest premise. If it was, little Barty who got lost in H.R. Puffin stuff. Or even it's kind of reverse. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, where it's the little sea monster
is lost
on land with humans. Either way, it was always like really fucking annoying because I'm like, it just felt like just go, just finish.
But then the TV show's over, and then you'll have nothing left.
But they could deal with the ramifications of being in a mysterious world and wanting to get back to it or how it influenced them. Like I felt like Sid and Marty Krofts were these rich stoners from California who, took their money and blew it on kids' TV shows.
Well, they liked puppets, right? Is that what it was? Yeah. They really liked puppets and costumes.
They almost went bankrupt doing those shows too.
I'm sure.
And they were just like, hey man, let's do a show called HR Puff and stuff. And now to this day, they deny that that's a drug reference. And
he was a dragon, wasn't
he? Yeah,
he?
Who smoked. Get it?
Yeah.
Puffin stuff.
Puff the Magic Dragon. It was a ripoff of that.
Johnny Paper.
And they insisted Puff the Magic Dragon wasn't about drugs either.
Listen, if you make that much money from a song, you would say it isn't either.
I want songs about drugs.
Yeah. I want, listen, love may be the drug for you, mm-hmm. but drugs are the drug for me.
Hey, it's not just Madonna's birthday. Lady Bunny had a birthday this week, too.
Happy birthday. She's 200 to 300 years old?
I would say that Lady Bunny at this point in time is probably 57.
I'm glad that unlike so many of her associates in drag and television, she's still active on social media. Mm. Because she could just pack up and disappear,
Where would she go?
She'd go hang out with RuPaul and Cameron Michaels.
She's a ham bone. She gets off on interacting with people.
She loves people, and
she loves talking to people and being around people and making people laugh and making people think about healthcare in America.
And get outraged and stand up for their rights.
Exactly.
I don't always agree with Lady Bunny's political approaches, but I'm really glad that she's out there mm-hmm. passionately arguing for mm-hmm. them. And I wish that more drag queens and people who are LGBT people were as willing to put themselves in an unflattering light to talk about progressive politics.
Because, Lady Bunny is more than happy to put herself in an unflattering light. In fact, she practically lives in it.
Look at her.
Just kidding. I love her. She's a multi-talented, humorous. We got to get her back on the podcast.
I know, girl. She's one of our most requested repeat guests. Mm. She, Peaches Christ, and Vivacious.
Mm.
People want to know, we had a party in our backyard. Well, it wasn't really a party. It was
Summer Nettles, who has been on the podcast a few times. Gosh, 10 years ago.
10 years ago, She's coming back.
A few times. She's going to come back again. She's moved out to the Denver area. She's working in journalism out there. We met her. She was working radio here. She was in town, so she's like, I want to see you
guys.
Visiting family. And then our friend Jason and his boyfriend Michael, we want to come over. So they're like, well, we'll all just hang out in our backyard, which is basically a parking lot.
6 feet apart.
With
flames surrounding us.
Yes.
So you found this like log.
I went to the Home Depot and they have this thing there and it's like
you shouldn't be shopping at Home Depot.
I know, but I was there and I had to get something and it was convenient and I was just like, well, I know I should go someplace else.
Listen, if I cannot shop at Goya, you cannot shop at Home Depot.
I know, I'm terrible.
Believe me, I look at those bottles of adobo at the grocery store, and I'm like, no one would really know.
I did just buy a membership to like one of those big box places because I was just like, oh, we need.
But they're progressive, and you get your money back,
and you get some money back. And so maybe I'll listen. I have taken major steps to reduce my shopping there. I was there just
your carbon footprint.
It was very convenient, and so that's why I did it. So I know I'm a failure, but
but you found this log.
I found this log, and they kind of hollow out the center of it, and they kind of chisel it. And it reminded me of this thing they call it. If you look online, you can look at it. It's called a Swedish stove torch. And these Swedish soldiers came up with this idea where you can kind of like bundle these logs together, and it became like, you know, a column, and you start the fire in the middle and you kind of hold it together, and then you can like actually cook on top of it. You can put a pot of pan on there and like cook things on it. And so, you know, we're in the backyard. I don't really have like a whole lot of space. So I was just like, it looked like it was really tight and compact. And so I'm like, we'll light this, and it's not going to have too much of like a impact in our yard. I didn't really have like a fire pit. I used a ceramic pot that was back there. And I burned it, and I was just, I have to say, I was super impressed with it. I was super happy with it. And they said you could cook on it probably for about 75 minutes, but like it was on fire and flamed for well over like 2 hours. And for $11 plus tax, it was a great deal, I think.
It was a beautiful flat fire. It was safe. It was, it probably sterilized the air between us if any COVID got that way.
Well, I wanted that, you know, that coziness since we're stuck here in the city and we're like, we don't have like an intimate backyard. I wanted like a more of an intimate place and an experience for all of us since we still have to be kind of socially distant. But, you know, there's nothing like being like next to a nice fire. The dog absolutely loved it. Jesse hates it like when I light a lighter in front
of him.
He's
like Frankenstein.
But he was looking at that fire. He was just like, he just loved it. And part of me felt like a real bad, like, dog dad, because I haven't really had him around a fire where he could just like lay next to it and enjoy the heat from it. Aww. And so we're going to have to do that again.
Well, it was great. You know, it's like the National Democratic Convention is being done virtually online, and, you know, kicking it off is Bernie Sanders.
We saw Bernie Sanders. Michelle Obama spoke. She's like, it is what it is about Trump. Like, you ain't kidding. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what Trump said about, you know, now 170,000 people dead. Mm-hmm. Most of it unnecessarily as a consequence of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah. If we had had a pandemic team in charge and doing things, a government that was functioning, things could be remarkably different.
And that's why, like, I'm not sure what to make of people we know who are like, well, Trump's brother died and we need to care about, you know, show compassion for Trump and his family. And I'm just kind of like, no, you don't need to, you know, you can just.
Well, you don't have to exploit this death or anything like that.
Blankly stare at it and keep going. You know, it's like, part of me is like, it just seems very strange to see people going out of their way to express compassion for such a heartless group of people who are responsible for the deaths of 170,000 people, either through malice or ignorance. And I don't see those individuals expressing that type of compassion for those death of people that are continuing to happen.
No, there's no compassion at all.
And to me,
there was a speaker at the Democratic Convention who's had family member who died from COVID, and they did an in memoriam to all the people who have died to COVID. And, you know, it's profound. I mean, I came from a city at the time, Erie, Pennsylvania, when I was growing up. There's a population of 110,000 people in that city. That whole city is gone. You know, it's just like, that's what's missing, people in their lives.
And, you know, and part of me is like, I'm just have a lot of anxiety, you know, about the U.S. Postal Service. We rely on you guys buying T-shirts and be able to ship them to you guys. And I'm like observing, you know, FedEx and the UPS are actually customers of the United States Postal Office. Yes,
they like, pay them.
They're intertwined with each other. So if you just, people are thinking, well, the private business sector will come in, you know, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that FedEx and UPS will also suffer greatly if the United States Postal Service goes under.
Trump hates the Postal Service for a lot of reasons. The Republicans are always talking about slashing the budget for it. They don't like it. Part of it is because, you know, for Trump, he's worried about the mail-in voters. But also, you know, the Postal Service employs a lot of African American people. A lot of black people work for the post office. A lot of veterans,
you
know, work for it. And if we know anything about Republicans, they say that they want to take care of veterans, but they don't care about veterans at all. Otherwise, they would fund the VA system. We have veterans every day that kill themselves. They would just, you know, do something about that, but they don't. And, you know, anything that they can do to undermine many of these government agencies, they're going to do.
Well, they're worried about going to jail. And so they're like, well, if we leave the country in chaos, they might not have the time or the resources.
We can just walk away from it all.
The state of Mississippi is in the process of redesigning their flag to not have the, you know.
Maybe they should take the Dukes of Hazzard flag.
Yeah. they're saying now that there's Mississippi blames a typo for including a huge mosquito among the new state flag designs.
What? There's a mosquito on it?
Because somebody submitted a state flag with a mosquito, and they were like, oh, that's not supposed to be happening.
The mosquito belongs only on the state flag of Minnesota.
That's the state bird. That's the state bird.
It's the mosquito.
Because they're so big.
Yeah, they're huge, especially when you get up north. They're really bad.
Well, I'm excited to watch the Democratic National Convention.
Are you really?
Streaming. Yeah. I mean, the nice thing, I don't want to watch it live because I'd rather I heard this before.
You
want to
get
before.
The highlights?
Yeah, I want to skip through it, you know, and some of the stuff is like, it feels like you're watching an a telethon or infomercial. It's like, it feels like a lot of the same materials being repeated. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like it doesn't have the electricity of people speaking in front of a live audience.
Oh yeah, it's not going to be quite the same as,
you know.
But you know, everything's going to be much faster, right? Because like if you do like Michelle Obama, her speech would have been twice as long because people would have been like, "Woo! Ah!" You know, and just
like, screaming. "Hi everybody. Woo!"
Exactly.
My name is Woo!
Get
Michelle.
In.
Woo!
Do your
Obama.
Thing.
Woo!
And get out.
Woo! And you're like, "Oh my god, this is going to take forever." We go low,
we get high. Okay, baby.
We want to remind you folks that Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. So check us out. You know, go to feastoffun.com/plus and access our archives. There are thousands and thousands of legendary podcasts. You guys enjoy listening to the shows. Treat yourself.
Yeah, go back, dive into the archives.
Deep
check
dive,
out those
honey.
Tags.
Yes.
Go in deep. You want to find something out? Go
We're on
in.
Patreon.
At patreon.com/feastoffun. Join there. Get the access to the podcast there. Add free experience.
And I wanted to shout out to our listener, Steven in Brooklyn, New York, who has been listening to archives shows. And one of his favorite episodes is episode 2627, The Greatest Sissies of All Time, where Brian Sweeney joins us to talk about Charles Nelson Reilly and Paul Lynde.
Oh, 2627.
Mr. Smith.
That's like 1,200 shows ago. Is that correct? No. Yeah. 260.
I don't
no,
know. I lose shows. Track of it all. You know,
we're like almost 2,900 or something. It's crazy.
It's like when you first hear the first years of Feast of Fun, it's like, "Hi, everybody. This is," and I'm not like, "Hello, everyone. This is Fausto." You know, it's like I got Lauren Bacall voice.
You talk the Mandela effect. That's the Harvey Fierstein effect.
Well, as you age, the more cocks you suck, it
rah, rah, rah,
makes your voice drop and register.
I think that's what it is, right?
I think so. Let's experiment and find out. Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Visit our shop at feastoffun.com/store and get a t-shirt through the U.S. mail. We have to keep the mail alive for the election.
That's right, honey. We send it to the Postal Service. Miss Vernon, Shalvana Vernon, honey, wherever you are.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.